Howdy, pals. Welcome back to For Your Reference. We've got another installment of Quid Pro Mo from our friends Mike and Jim, the fanboy and also the hater. So take the promo away.
I'm Mike Hall.
I'm Jim Harris.
I'm the fanboy.
I'm the hater.
Our podcast is The Fanboy and the Hater,
where we discuss the best
and worst
in movies,
TV,
and pop culture.
We are available on all major podcast platforms,
including Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spotify, and many more.
Join us while we argue about the things that we love,
like Star Wars, superheroes, and science fiction,
and the things that we wish were better,
like Star Wars, superheroes, and science fiction.
So tune in to The Fanboy and the Hater.
We would be honored if you would join us. It is your destiny.
Friends and lovers, welcome back to For Your Reference. KT
and OT,
and we hope you've checked the memo, guys, and we hope you have your George Foreman grills, because we are Bears, Beats, and Battlestar Galacticing.
Galactic. All right then.
Oh, is the office not based in Tonga?
Oh, I'm shocked it's not.
All different sort of iterations of The Office, right?
Yup.
Well, we are covering the US version of The Office. Obviously, we are going to lay down accolades for Ricky Gervais for the impeccable miniseries, or the limited series of the UK Office. We are not covering that today, but we do give credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So can we get on with the US version?
Yep.
It is so easily consumable, and I'm not saying that in a derogatory sort of sense. Like, it's not a show that is too controversial, so it's not really going to offend anyone. And in regards to demographics, I feel like it covers a wide range of age and, you know, racial, professional sort of backgrounds, right?
Mm.
And, you know, that's what we're covering today, because sometimes we want to make sure everyone can play along and understand a reference or two.
For sure.
Right? So the US one, let's get through the stats as we usually do. NBC is a network. Proud Peacock, baby.
Yeah, peacocking.
So it premiered in March of 2005 and it ended in 2013. Unfortunately, in its run, Steve Carell did not gain any sort of Emmys.
Wait, what? Really?
Yeah. My knowledge of that is a couple of years old, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct on that.
Oh, bloody hell, eh?
Hashtag reference check if you want to correct Katie. But The Office was nominated for 42 Emmy Awards, winning 5 times. You would think they would win more than that, right?
Yeah. It was stellar in a lot of categories.
I don't know if stellar's the word.
I'd say stellar, especially in its first 5 seasons, mate.
It was enjoyable, but it's not going to move me to tears.
What? What office were you watching? No, I'm not talking about Oficio, the Tongan version. You know?
That sounds like the Kenyan version. But yes, it won for directing, writing, twice for editing, and once for the best series. So let's just do a quick sort of rattle off in regards to the cast, and then we'll jump into first impressions. We have Steve Carell, John Krasinski, Jenna Fischer, Rainn Wilson, Leslie David Baker, Brian Brockmager.
Say it with confidence, mate.
Kevin. I feel like I haven't seen him in anything else, so I feel like I get a pass there. And we have a whole slew of actors that come through as well. Ed Helms, should definitely get a mention mm-hmm. as well. So we have quite an expansive cast. A lot of them were writers, and then they slowly filtered into the cast as well. But we will get to that. So let's jump into first impressions, OT. Where were you in your most delightful of lives when The Office came out? Did you like it when you first heard about it? And, you know, just your general sort of feels in regards to this show.
I was just a wee baby Seamus. No, I'm kidding.
Archer reference.
I'm not sure. It didn't resonate with me. Like, I started watching it. I watched the first episode. I was like, what the is this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it took you quite a while to convince me to watch it with you.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I took it in all its awesomeness and realizing that I never really gave it its fair chance. At the start of it, I just thought Michael Scott was annoying as, and I was like, nah, I'm not up for this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was almost similar to how I felt about, not to the extent of how I felt about, what's the Study Rock guy's name? Jordan.
Tracy
Jordan, yeah. Yep. Not to that extent, but similar. I was like, nah, I'm not into this. So,
because you want your characters to have dimension.
Yeah. Okay. And he just seemed like a dick and he's all annoying and I wasn't into that.
Wait, is this a newsflash to me? Did I introduce The Office to you?
Yes, you did. Oh. You can brag about it later, but yeah, you did.
Well, no, because you should have watched 30 Rock before you watched The Office. I will fight you, sir. I will fight you in these streets. How dare you?
I think I put up a bigger fight against 30 Rock than I did The Office, and that's why you watched The Office first.
No, you sit in that.
Yeah.
Because those are the early juices you're going to have for a while.
You're assuming that I would still take 30 Rock now over The Office. Pace right off! That would never happen.
Wow. This is going to be the shortest episode ever. This was going to be a nice little episode. Everyone can get on in and have a good old time. And you just have to break my Tina Fey heart. How dare you? Where was I in my life? I didn't watch The Office at the time that it was airing. But it was before Community. It was definitely before I started watching Community. And it was also at the time that I was watching The Rock. And it was nice. It was good. It was pleasant. Like I said, it's not too controversial in a lot of ways, and it is something that is quite easily consumable. And I'm not saying it in a pejorative sort of way, but, you know, if you want depth, there are other shows that do that. The Office is fun because for a whole majority of us, you know, The Office drove, unfortunately, where we reside, right? Mm. So a lot of the happenings can be quite exaggerated in The Office, but there's also a lot of relatability as well.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think I took it into resonating with The Office that much in terms of my day-to-day because I feel like The Office just took it a way, way too weird. And I don't know, like I don't picture anyone's office being like that or having a character like Michael Scott. Maybe there are people out there with that, but sheesh, it just seemed a bit too surreal to me.
OT, I am so sorry. I am so sorry that this podcast was a ruse. And I actually devised this podcast just to tell you that if you can't recognize The Office in your office, you're actually the Creed Bratton of your office. Do you have mung beans at your desk?
Piss off.
You didn't see that coming, did you? How good was it when Ryan set up a blog for him, but really it was just a Word document?
Yeah.
Oh, and, you know, we will get into the characters, but just while we're talking about Creed, The Office really found a way, at least in the glory seasons of The Office, they found a great way to balance all of the secondary characters because they had quite an expansive cast. Not to the level of like The Simpsons or Family Guy, but The Office had quite a lot of secondary characters that they could rely on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even create sub arcs and create multi episode arc stories on them. And Creed was such an eccentric character. that it was delicious. It was delicious to see him on the screen. But if they had overused him too much, it would have got overwhelming.
Yeah, I see your point there, for sure. Create is best with, in small doses.
Yeah. Mm. And they definitely could have overused it, but it was a very nice balance, I think, that they had.
Yeah.
With a lot of the characters as well. Anything else about first impressions or about your general office droning sort of life?
Look, I loved it. I loved it watching it. It's one of those shows that I can go back to and just start rewatching it in whatever mood I'm in. I could do The Office. Nothing comes close in terms of rewatchability.
And that's why you have a balance on this podcast, because obviously the substance is lacking in one of the hosts. But it's not like, it's not going to change your life.
Who watches a show to change their lives?
Everyone, Chernobyl, When They See Us. Shout out to Jarrell Jerome. We were in the middle of watching the Emmys, and his speech alone, just wow.
Yeah, he did outstanding performance.
Like, granted, a lot of our predictions were wrong.
Nah, I got one right, mate.
Yes, you were the first one to get it right, and it was for RuPaul's Drag Race. And I feel like that is iconic in the Foyer Reference household. There's nothing else to say in regards to that. But I do like The Office, and I like that, you know, because usually when you meet someone or you're meeting someone new in the office, usually the first thing that you talk about generally is like, do you watch TV shows? Do you watch movies? And usually The Office is something I can rely on to be like, oh, you know, do you watch The Office? And then that can like open up the conversation.
Oh, do you start off with, do you watch TV shows? I just go straight right in. Do you watch The Office? That's the standard right there. And then now I know if whether or not I want to continue this conversation or not. If they say no, I'm like, you know.
That was a very deliberate pause you gave. When I'm in the office, I just go straight in. And then you just left it. You know, these first-time listeners might think that, you know, we're anything but wholesome.
Wholesome we are not.
No, but it is when I like say, for example, like there are new people in the office and I find out they watch Archer, I know we're going to be best friends. But if they watch The Office, at least about with them.
Just recently, my boss's partner in the office,
and just started
rewatching The Office, and he was just in the background reading a book, and he was like, I better put this book down, because he found himself kept on laughing. He was like looking up, going back to his book, looking up, seeing, laughing at a joke. And that's The Office. You cannot not pay attention when it's being played. It's amazing and hilarious. And Dwight.
Dwight.
Yeah. Shootbox.
Shootbox and Stanley Nichols?
Yeah. Oh, you have some Stanley Nichols, eh?
That's all I have. And you can shove it up your butt. This is just going to be us referencing The Office quotes for this whole episode. Well, obviously, we need to start off with Michael Scott.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
And according to Steve Carell, because I was watching some interviews, according to Steve Carell, he didn't watch, because IMDb trivia, and I will come and fight you, IMDb trivia. IMDb trivia said that Steve Carell did start to watch the UK Office, but then he stopped, so it wouldn't influence him. But when I was watching an interview with Steve Carell, he said that he didn't even try to watch it.
Ooh.
Because he's so impressionable. If he was to watch Ricky Gervais do it, he would definitely copy it. Whether consciously or not. But yeah, Steve Carell really came into his own as, even within that first series, but that pilot was literally a copy and paste, right? And then as it continued into Diversity Day, which is also quite early in the first season as well, you really see Steve Carell take the role by the cojones and really make it his own.
Like the first episode, it's possible. Like, just trying to copy paste something from a British sitcom, which hundreds have done before and it's failed.
The In-Betweeners.
Oh, how horrible.
It's terrible. I shouldn't have mentioned it.
Bloody hell. Now I'm angry. You know, in his awesomeness and skill.
What skill? We're talking about Michael Scott, right?
We're talking about Steve Carell as an actor.
Okay, gotcha.
He made Michael Scott likable.
Yes.
You could reason it. You felt sad when he was being mistreated or, you know, like nothing that I felt while watching the UK Office.
Oh.
I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. We love Ricky Gervais. You know that. Like,
listen to our Afterlife episode, guys.
Yeah. Tell me about... No, what about you? Like, do you...
In September of 2019, this is Katie from the For Your Reference podcast, just reiterating that OT's opinions are his own and it does not express how Katie feels. Come for me, I do manage the Twitter, but please direct your UK The Office comments towards OT. Not even hashtag fake OT can save you. That is all you, my friend.
Yeah.
But yes, let's go back. So Michael Scott, you know, there are a lot of people that say it's only because of a TV show that he is the manager, like the regional manager for a branch. But I don't know about you guys, but I've been working for quite a while. And there are many people that I have crossed in my paths that should not be managers. But hell or high water, whatever dick needed to be sucked, whatever bean needed to be flicked, they are managers.
Mm.
And there's nothing you can do about it. There are just people that just shouldn't be there, but they are there. And that's just a part of life, unfortunately. The great thing is Michael Scott is in a TV show, so you can enjoy his incompetencies without feeling that dredge seeping into your everyday sort of life, right?
Yeah.
And I think I think we talked about it in our Archer episode, but in regards to having a protagonist, they need to have some sort of defect. Like, they can't be perfect. So Michael Scott, for example, he did terrible things. He did malicious things, but he didn't do it with intent, if that makes sense.
There was no malice to it.
Yeah, I know I said malicious, but, you know, what can you do? We're infallible beings. Come and fight me. But, you know, there isn't that sense of pointed anger that he has. He's a goofball, and he doesn't, you know, he proposed to Carol on their ninth date at Diwali.
Feels like something you would do.
Me? Well, you're in for a sad time because we're way past nine dates, my friend.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
Well, unless you've got that cheerleader outfit, then there's nothing you can do for me, sir.
I've got the Princess Leia outfit, so I'll do one better.
Nice. And that's as far as Star Wars as I will get on this podcast. But yeah, so in regards to a protagonist, he might do terrible things, but it's not with malicious intent.
Mm.
So, and that's similar to Archer as well, because he's a bit of an idiot
too. Archer's a dick. Archer's malicious ass, mate.
Yeah, but do you remember sad Archer waiting at lacrosse?
Oh, it just paints a picture of why Archer is Archer. Like, he just makes him... Or you're like, okay, I see it now.
I guess so. It would be nice to see a Michael Scott origin story.
Oh, man, he must have had a tough childhood.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
And him and Jan Levinson, how does that even work?
It doesn't. It doesn't. That was one of the saddest arcs in this. Especially when Jim and the guys went to visit Michael. Well, not
the dinner party. That's what the episode is called, the dinner party.
Yeah. How awkward was that?
That one night.
You made everything all right.
Her assistant. No, I think his name is Hunter.
Yep, Hunter.
That was very awkward.
Yeah, it really was.
Don't be those people, guys. Don't invite people to your place and then fight in front of them. And this isn't just talking to couples. Even yourself. Don't fight with yourself when people are around. Do that in the privacy of your own bedchambers, as quoted by Katie.
And she'd put a small TV for his area where he'd just stand there. That was one really awkward and sad moment in this show.
She was gorgeous, but do you think the pussy was that good?
I think Michael was just happy to have any kind of pussy, to be fair.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't going off for veal cutlet kind of...
Veal Revolver. Is this an Archer episode or is this an Office episode?
He knew he'd punched above his weight and, you know, he just stick it out.
They were just wrong for each other.
Mm.
They were just wrong for each other in every way.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, one of the key highlights that I have with Michael Scott is his George Foreman grill. This encapsulates Michael Scott as a character. He turns on the George Foreman grill and he puts bacon on it on the end of his bed because...
Who doesn't want to wake up to a smell of bacon in the morning?
Exactly. So much to unpack there. But the crux of it is that no secondary thought went into it aside from the fact that he just wanted to wake up with bacon in his bed. And I feel like OT resonates with that because if you can grill it, OT has grilled it.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, we're looking for our sponsorships. OT will do like a Tracy Jordan / Whoopi Goldberg meat grill.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. But, you know, those are the fun little anecdotes that you have with Michael Scott's character. And him and Meredith alone have quite a lot of story arcs together.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. Let's talk about your best friend, Dwigt.
Ah, Dwigt. You know when someone writes a character that you fully resonate with, you understand, you empathize with,
wow.
And you completely get their essence. I feel like that's how I felt watching Dwight. I don't know why, but his scenes... How many times did I cry watching Dwight getting heartbroken over Angela treating him like crap? Like, it's... I don't know, but there was something there. I feel like I need to meet Rainn Wilson one of these days.
He's such a cool guy, though. Him and his wife. I hope they're still together because they have like a online platform called Soul Pancake.
Oh, in my mind, he's not married, so
you still got a chance.
Yeah,
more than Halle Berry.
I think so.
All right, good on you. If this is your first time visiting, perusing the wares for your reference, I have openly gone on the record many times cordially inviting Halle Berry to have relations with OT, and I would more than happily watch. In regards to OT and relations with Rainn Wilson, I'm not sure. I think I'll be busy that day. I'll be washing my hair.
No worries, we can record that shit for you.
Like Jan and Michael Scott?
Yeah.
But Dwight was such an interesting character because
he really was. He had soul. Like, he wasn't just surface-level gimmicky kind of character, you know? There was so much depth to him. And when it came down to it, he could understand the intricacies between the group. When Jenna Fisher,
Pam
was, you know, like feeling down or low or sad, you know, Dwight was always there. Mm-hmm. Finding ways, maybe not using his words, but finding ways in which to just let her know that, you know.
It was quite nice seeing their friendship develop.
Yeah. It was something beautiful. Like, you know, they care even though they would not openly say it.
Yeah. And shout outs to everyone out there that has ever had to be what we call in Australia a fire warden. I've been a fire warden for quite a few years in my various workplaces.
Oh, wow, they're dicks, hey.
Sorry?
Fire wardens are dicks, aren't they?
I got this fire pussy, bro. I need an alarm when I'm about to... Oh, wow.
That's okay.
That's the office after dark.
Yep.
Thank yourself, because you derailed this. I was actually making a valid point.
Not sure whether it was valid or not.
Can we leave my fire pussy alone?
Mm-hmm.
Can we let it breathe for a second?
You can proceed.
Thank you. So we call it fire warden in Australia, but essentially you're the person that helps when there's a fire alarm or any sort of emergency in the office. And I've been that for quite a few years in my various sort of workplaces. And every time I go to training, they always play Dwight's clip about safety.
Yeah.
And how everyone just panics.
Mm-hmm.
So that also gets played. Another clip that gets played when I've first aid sort of trainings, they play or they reference The Office when they have the staying alive, staying alive. And Dwight like skins the mannequin. Hannibal Lecter.
Yep.
With his fava beans and Chianti. So that actually gets played a lot as well. So like I said, the office is so consumable. It's so digestible that it really just makes an appearance everywhere.
Mm.
Can I digress, OT? Do I have your permission to digress for a second?
Yep.
So being fire wardens, you're essentially like emergency wardens. So it's not just fires. It might be like a bomb threat. It might be, you know, any sort of emergency that has to be dealt with and you need to herd the sheep, so to say, right? I'm that dick. I'm that dick in the training because they're always like, oh, you know, it's all about safety and you need to get people out and blah, 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 blah. I've done this for years, right? I've got my OT. I've got our exec producer dog. I've got mouths to feed, right? So I'm that dick in the middle of the training being like, if I've asked the people 1, 2, 3 times and they don't leave, it's okay for me. Actually, it's not even a question. It's more of a statement. It's like, it's okay for me to leave them if I've given them ample warning. And every time I've said this, people look around me and they're shocked. They're like, what? Oh my God. And the trainer, every time, and I've had different trainers, they're like, yes, that's exactly right. So I am telling you, I'm stopping myself from clapping my hands. If you do not evacuate out of this motherfucking building, then you can turn into a Rice Krispie treat, okay? Because I have too much, not really, but I have things to lose.
Yeah, too much is all right.
I would rather not burn here with you.
Yeah, so, fair enough, you know. Because you have fire drills and you're all the way up in like 25th floor. So when that happens, we have to go all the way down using the stairs.
Yeah.
And it's the worst thing ever. So of course you'll find people finding ways to miss that.
Yeah. And one of the funny things that happened was it was actually a fire drill, but the building management didn't notify the fire wardens.
Ooh.
So the alarm went off. So I just treated it as if it was real. I walked the floor. I told people multiple times. I went to both lavatories for both genders, right? And, you know, pretty much no one moved, right? Because apparently work is so important. Yeah, right, Craig. No one cares about your stupid spreadsheet, right? So people just stayed there. And again, this was a fire drill. I didn't know anything better. And I was like, screw you guys. I said, got my bag and I actually left. Like, I just left.
And went home?
Yeah, I just left and went home. There was no one at the designated assembly point. So take what you will, whether it's from Katie's lessons or from Dwight. I don't know which ones are more detrimental. I will give you ample warning, but if you choose not to leave, I am not going to burn with you. because I have lots of burning to look forward to in hell. So I don't need any preemptive burning to happen. But Dwight is quite an interesting sort of character because he's like... he's like that kid in school, like the kid that got involved in all of the activities, and they actually found a sense of pride in having roles that have authority in them. You know, sometimes kids that did too much and they're on like the student body, or, you know, they were pretty much in every sort of extracurricular activity. I feel like Dwight was that sort of person.
Yeah.
Or even in a workplace sort of sense. There's just annoying people that are always there. And he wasn't doing anything wrong. He just had overconfidence in himself. And I've always felt like Jim was quite a dick to, you know, belittle him. Like, I know sometimes it's fun and it's bantery, but also in other ways, like, Jim was a deadbeat. And he did nothing, and he just like pulled Dwight down, and he was trying. And, you know, Dwight was volunteering as a like a police, or was it a fireman? No, I think it was a police.
The police, yeah.
And he also had his karate or judo.
Yeah, karate.
Like he had things, and he had his farm as well. Essentially, Jim and Pam were dicks, and I don't know why people liked them so much. So, is there anything else you want to say about Dwight or Dwight before we move on to Jim and Pam?
No, like Dwight was the best salesman there as well.
Oh yeah, actually yes, thank you.
So the fact that Jim kept on going back and forth with him as if that didn't even prevent Dwight from performing.
Yeah.
Yes, there's banter and all, but at the end of the day, he stuck down and did his work better than everyone else there.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, he's a mate, man.
But it's like he was trying, you know, like, and Jim wasn't. So I don't understand why he was being so. Anyway, so let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Jim and Pam.
Yeah. Well, Jim is that guy that feels like he's better than everyone else. Right? And he shouldn't put that much effort in.
Right.
In anything, really. Like, he's just there to be there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not a fan of Jim. I don't know. I don't like people like that.
I feel like we have unpopular opinions because I've never heard anyone voice what we're saying.
You reckon?
Yeah.
There's some Jim lovers out there.
Jim and Pam.
Pam isn't bad. Pam's great, you know.
Nah, she, man.
We'll get to Pam then.
Okay, let's keep talking about Jim then.
But Jim later discovered throughout the whole show that he had to do something more.
Yes.
Because he didn't want to end up being another Michael Scott.
Mm-hmm.
So that put fire on his backside and did something. And the fact that Pam's ex,
Roy,
actually after breaking up with Pam, just shows you again. Maybe there's something with Pam in there. Just complacency galore.
Yeah.
Anyway, he shut off. He started his business and just...
Thrived. Same as Jim.
Yeah.
Thriving Pam is the right... stopping.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Like, it's fun to, like, blow off work and stuff, but I don't know. It's just weird. It's just... I don't know. I'm just not really a fan of Jim in general.
But he gave us good pranks.
Yeah. And no, but there are times when it's fun, like, between him and Dwight.
Mm.
And Dwight obviously missed Jim when Jim moved to the different branch where we had Andy and Rashida Jones, whatever her character's name was. And he did try to remove himself because he knew that he couldn't linger with these feelings with Pam around. He needed to move, right? And then they reconsolidated the branch and then he came back.
Yeah.
And then, well, I don't even think we need to mention spoilers. Because usually we say it at the start of the episode. But, you know, let's go through Jim's whole evolution. So, you know, he moved to a different branch with Rashida and Andy, and then they came back. For a long time, he was kind of coasting. You know what was really funny? When Idris Elba came in and he was asking Dwight and Jim, because he's the assistant to the regional manager and assistant regional manager. And I fucking, we love Idris Elba, right? Mm-hmm. Apparently, the Bond people do not care for Idris Elba. They just did not want him. But anyway, that's a story for another day. But he did not indulge Jim's bullshit.
Not at all.
An iota.
Well, he saw pretty much what we are saying right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy who just doesn't give any effort.
Yeah.
He's not going to do anything for you.
Yeah.
In the office, or he's just there coasting along. Yeah. At the end of the day, no one wants that.
Yeah. And then eventually he starts the Athlete.
Athlete, yeah.
The sports marketing sort of company with Daryl.
Yep.
As well. So he does become successful. And then he, at the hindrance of his wife, Pam, who will come to.
Mm.
I love Jenna Fischer. Oh, did you know that Jenna Fischer and Angela Kingsley? Angela, essentially.
Yep.
They are actually starting a podcast on The Office.
Oh, yeah. I need to be a guest on that.
Good luck with that, mate. Good luck with that. Your seat won't be cold before I find a new co-host. Don't you worry. Hashtag fake OTs unite. But yes, they are starting a podcast and it is called The Ladies of the Office or something like that.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so Jim had development, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. But yeah, there were strains in the relationship as well. So let's move on to Pam.
Oh, Pam. The office receptionist.
So Pam is going to bear a lot of the brunt with the foundational qualms that I have with these sorts of characters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not even just characters, just people in life in general. If you feel like your relationship is flatlining or your relationship is lukewarm, then fucking communicate it.
Yeah.
Don't just stay engaged for 3 years and then start flirting with the guy at work and then wonder where everything has gone wrong.
For sure. Well,
I think she kissed Jim even while she was still with Roy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I just don't care for that. And, you know, I don't want to simplify people's lives. I'm just talking about TV show characters for the moment. But it's like, just fucking communicate it. Just be like, hey, babe, I'm not feeling this anymore. Or, you know, why don't you take me out anymore? Mm. Or buy me the iPad or the iPod.
Oh.
Right? Mm. Just communicate it. And you know what good communication also musters?
Mm-hmm.
A great sex life. And there you go, guys.
Yeah. Jenna was just there, you know. She was waiting to get married to Roy. And Roy was... like, I don't know. Roy wasn't really that bothered either. Like, yeah. They're just comfortable in their own comfort zones. And
No
one did anything to move each other out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they try to portray it as if Roy is this sort of bad guy in this.
Yeah.
And which he isn't when you think about it. It's just really because isn't. We're
being told from this perspective.
Yeah. Because both of them didn't do shit all. And furthermore, Pam was the one flirting with Jim for bummed out 5 years or some shit.
Not just five, bummed out five.
Yeah, bummed out five.
That's an in-betweeners reference, guys. But yeah, so, you know, Pam wasn't exactly having the best time of her life. She wasn't communicating it. But I also feel like, and maybe we shouldn't take it this serious because it is a lighthearted, you know, office workplace sort of sitcom. But I am going to take it deeply. I feel like Pam is just one of those people that just can't be happy. As she tries to bring down people around her.
Wow.
But remember when Michael Scott started dating the mum, Helene? Mm. Yes, that's creepy. Yes, that's gross. But at the end of the day, your mother is an adult and you're an adult. And the way that she conducted herself was so disgusting.
Yeah, that was petulant as me.
Yeah. Absolutely disgusting. She's so indulgent. And even when Jim moved and then Rashida came back, could you imagine flirting with, you know, your office buddy for years and he comes back with Rashida Jones?
Ooh.
That will put you back in your place like nothing else will.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? But I feel like she just wanted things to stay the same. And I feel like she wanted to feel like the hottest, most valuable, most attractive piece around.
Yeah, she did. She really did. And even when Jim did come back and wasn't into the weird ploys and
pranks. Yeah.
She got all sad and mopey.
Yeah.
She got sad and mopey, and that made Jim go back to that shit anyway, just to make her happy.
And even when he was trying to do the sports marketing, Pam was like, no, don't go there. Let's just stay here. Gross.
Yeah. My word.
Right? We did this. We did the Office episode, so, you know, majority of our listeners can actually listen to it. But I feel like the things we're saying is going to make them turn it off. But, you know, I guess because we're taking it further than the TV show when we're applying it to if these were real people.
No, but it makes...
And the boom guy, the microphone, the three comma guy in Silicon Valley.
Yep.
I am sorry. And I fucking love you, mate. Like, you're on, like, Dean Winters level for me. Like, whenever I see you pop up in a TV show, Sploosh Mountain, right? But that guy has a face. He does not have the innocent boom guy in a production crew.
No, he doesn't.
He has the three comma Lamborghini dickish sort of face. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, going back to Pam, she is a problem. She always wants to feel the most special and the most prized. And in times, like in those sorts of times, it means in some cases pulling people down to her level.
Yeah. 100% agree with that.
It's gross.
It is gross. And I'd forgotten about the boom guy because Jim had left. Pam was all feeling vulnerable.
Yeah.
Her painting wasn't going that well either.
Your art
is the best art
of all the art.
Oh, we need to go. We need to tell our friends that.
Right?
Yeah.
And if they get the reference, they can be friends forever.
Yeah. Anyway, and this is when he supposedly was going through rough times with his wife as well. Uh-huh. And he was all vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And it created this sort of atmosphere when they feed off each other's kind of misery. And he felt like, huh, it'll just take one fucking thing to get Pam to cheat.
The best word for Pam is indulgent.
Mm.
And petulant, like you said. Let's move on. Let's move on to greener pastures. I feel like we should cover Andy Bernard because he became quite a big... He essentially became the replacement for Michael, which became his demise as well.
Yes. Andy was likable at the start. He brought something quirky to the office that wasn't there. He was fun.
Yeah.
He cared. He was peppy. And then all of a sudden, he goes missing and then comes back a completely different sort of character.
Yeah.
Which did not make sense at all. He stopped being quirky. He just was vindictive.
It got to a point where he was just chasing Aaron around.
Yeah. It was insane.
Like, they just kept transforming him and morphing him, you know, to fill that Michael Scott place.
Mm.
But, you know, some key highlights for Andy was when they put his phone in the roof and he punches the wall.
Yeah, he had anger issues, didn't he?
And how he calls Jim Tuna,
mm-hmm.
Big Tuna, because he saw Jim eat a tuna sandwich once. and how he also says, beam me that disc as well. Oh, he was such a delightful character.
He was.
And they just fell off the mark with him. But it was great. Josh Groban was his brother.
Yeah.
Walter Jr. And then you also had Bryan Cranston as the father as well. They really ruined him.
They ruined him. I really liked Andy at the start. He was really, really hilarious.
Oh, yeah. And, you know...
And I wanted them and Aaron to be together. I wanted that because they were perfect together in the first phase of his character development.
True.
And then he turns into a complete psycho and Aaron ends up with Plop.
What was the other one called?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Well, there you go with Plop. And I don't think anyone wants to end up with Plop.
No one wants to end up with Plop.
But yeah, so, but Ed Helms is such a treasure. He's such a delight to the senses. He even got me through that movie with Jennifer Aniston and also our Band the Snatch guy.
Oh, the
Vacation one, or something?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's good value. I do love myself and Ed Helms.
He's really good value. And I think that point where he disappeared, he was doing the Hangover movie.
Hangover 3, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not sure what needed, why the change in his character was needed at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really did not make any sense. Especially when you've lost Michael.
Yeah.
And Andy's one of the few that could actually lead the office with his own quirkiness and bring something new that Michael, you know, something different from Michael.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But then when you want to overlay what Michael used to be on Andy, it's just...
Wow. Do you remember when the gun went off in the office and it went just past his ear? And he was holding on to Daryl?
That's for you.
Excuse me?
What?
You better look at yourself, mate.
Did I start up?
Another good reference.
Oh, dear.
Be me that reference, OT. But yes, it was just sad. It was sad. And for a lot of people, and it might even be British people, but, you know, a lot of people get angry about British shows and how they end too soon and how there's only like 3 episodes and you have to wait 2 years for another one, like Sherlock, for example. Unless you get picked up by Netflix, then you have every year, like Black Mirror, right?
Yep.
But this is the problem we have, my friends. When you continue to want and want and want, and it's well and truly jumped the shark, right? Yeah. Even before Michael Scott left the office, it was already past its peak.
Yeah, but there were still some solid moments there.
There were fumes there.
Yeah.
That you could continue to, you know, inhale. But the, you know, the foundational sort of delicioso moments had already dissipated
from the office. But what kept me going, especially in those periods where you knew that Michael was leaving, was to see how they would write him off.
Yep.
And the fact that he ended up with Holly Flux, who we love.
Yes, Amy Ryan. Yes, Beattie Russell from The Wire.
We love Beattie. And, you know, that was one of the most satisfying endings to a character.
That's
in
the
any
full development character. Yeah, yeah.
That was a proper sending off, and I was drenched in tears. It was very sad.
Yes,
I feel like I've cried in the office a lot more than I should have. But
hey, man, be comfortable with who you are.
I am. That's what I'm saying in a pod, mate.
And that's why you exist, right?
Yep.
But yeah, so Michael Scott, and yeah, definitely Holly, 100%. At first I was like, they're literally just trying to copy like a female version, but she grew into her own and I'm so glad.
She really did.
Yeah, she really did.
She understood Michael.
How about when she thought Kevin was simple? And Kevin thought she was into him.
Oh, dear Lord. That was funny.
And also about Kevin, when he was trying to get Pam to lactate.
They're solid gold moments in this.
And while we're talking about Kevin, he was talking about his special chili that he only makes once a year.
And then he carries it to the office and he drops
spills.
It.
Oh my God, all of my life's goals just shattered in that moment. The poor thing.
Mm.
The poor thing. But, you know, even as we're talking, there has such rich side, secondary sort of characters. Let's talk about one of my faves that has continued to see success beyond The Office, and we are all most welcome. Mindy Kaling. playing Kelly Kapoor.
Oh, for a second, I thought you were going to say Craig Robertson.
No, thank you.
Oh, it's not even Robertson, is it? It's Robinson?
Unsubscribe from the newsletter, please.
Oh, you're Mindy. You love Mindy, don't you?
I fucking love Mindy.
I never got her character, to be honest.
She's that annoying airhead in The Office.
Man, she was over the top all the time.
But there was a moment when Jim finally came back because they consolidated the branches.
Mm.
And Kelly's like, oh my God, I have so much to tell you. And then she was talking about celebrity babies. Oh, she is just so precious in every sense. And it makes so... Do you remember what her role was in The Office?
She was the HR?
Customer service rep.
Customer service rep.
So she was the one talking to the customers and that sort of thing.
Yeah, HR was Toby.
Yeah, oh, we'll come to Toby.
Yeah, I just...
But Kelly was amazing because she was, you know, that needlessly clingy on Ryan.
Mm.
How ridiculous when she was with Mohinder from Heroes and then Ryan pulls up on a horse... And she, it's just ridiculous. But I fucking love Kelly as a character because then she gets enrolled into the diversity leadership program.
Yeah.
And she comes back and she's like, you guys, I am so smart. Like, if you ask me a really hard question, I'll be like, blah, 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 blah. And I will say the right answer. Oh, she is so delicious. I fucking love Mindy Kaling. And the fact that she has gone on to, and I actually really love the Mindy Project.
Mm.
As well. And she most recently executive produced Four Weddings and a Funeral as well, which we've also indulged in. But, oh, wow. Just wow. Everything.
Oh, she's in Late Night, your movie with Emma Robertson.
Late Night, yes.
Yeah, Late Thank Night, you. Yeah.
Date Night is Tina Fey and Steve Carell.
It's hard night in there.
We love a reference. But yes, oh, Kelly is everything. And she's so spiteful.
Mm. Oh, you do not want to cross Kelly.
Yeah. Oh. I think Andy brought his new girlfriend, like most recent girlfriend, and then Erin came to Kelly and they went into the circle. She was like, oh my God, Jess, did you just fart? Like just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Very high school.
Yeah.
Very mean girls.
Mm.
Oh, I loved every sense, every titillating moment with her.
Yeah, well, I appreciated some of her scenes, but I think she just felt a bit too much.
But that's what makes her so great. You choose. Who do you want to talk about next?
Have to talk about Angela.
Okay, let's talk about Angela. The end of the series is the wedding between Angela and Dwight.
Wow.
And we have the return of Michael Scott. Ooh, that was a feeling.
That was a feeling. They know how to play with your heartstrings.
Yeah.
You know, before This Is Us, people need to remember there was The Office.
The iconic NBC series, The Office.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, Angela is, man, she is really bad though, isn't she?
Yeah, she's a problem. She is a big problem, or a big little problem.
All right, so she goes she cheats on
Andy yes,
with Dwight, and this continues on until Phyllis finds out, and Phyllis blackmails Angela, but Angela doesn't give in. And it's revealed, and she doesn't show emotions. Maybe that makes it even worse, because she's just stone cold all the time, or most of the time. She just feels like a robot lady. Well, she does have feelings and stuff, but you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You know, even when she was with a gay senator, I don't think he was a senator. I feel like it was more city council.
She kept saying he was a senator, but he wasn't.
Yeah, I feel like he was just a representative of the city council or something. And she was still cheating.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the non-senator was with Oscar.
Oh,
yeah.
I had forgotten about that.
Oscar was so uppity.
Yeah, he was uppity for someone who was cheating
No, I just meant just him as a person. He was very uptight.
Yeah, he was very uptight.
And he always had to assert that he was the smartest. Well, actually, oh, and then there's the episode where Michael Scott's character bests Oscar.
Yeah.
With the facts from about China.
Yeah.
So good. And then everyone in the office is like prepping Michael Scott so he's ready for the next debate or conversation with Oscar.
Mm. It's brilliant seeing Oscar being taken down a peg.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
He could not believe he was bested.
Yeah.
He took it really hard.
It must be hard, though, to be in a team with Kevin. Because according to the pilot episode, Kevin was in the warehouse and he was supposed to get fired. And Michael Scott gave him an office, a job in the office.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. He's got nine lives, Kevin.
I think there was a cold open. I'm pretty sure it was a cold open and not a normal scene where they were being quiet. They had a strike on how long they could be quiet for. And everyone was absolutely fine. They weren't answering any phones. And out of nowhere, Kevin opens a candy bar and he bites it and he goes, oh, yeah. And Oscar's like, do you really have to say, oh, yeah? There were some ridiculous cold opens. Also, Stanley, how he doesn't notice anything. So they like, I think it was because Jim gave him, or Stanley was drinking Jim's orange juice.
Yeah,
not and realizing it was his coffee.
Yeah.
So everyone just started to like see how far they could take it as well.
Man, Stanley checked out of that place ages ago.
I feel like you're Creed and I'm Stanley. Definitely.
Oh my God.
100%.
Yeah, but man, Stanley didn't respect Michael at all. He did on Pretzel Day. And when he lashed out at Michael.
Yeah, it was sad.
That was over the line. I was like, mate, if he wasn't Michael, I'm pretty sure Stanley would have been fired by then.
Oh yeah, totally. 100%. But it wasn't Prison Mike talking.
Prison Mike.
With the Dementors. Also, something to note, guys. We didn't mention it in the 30 Rock episode, but every year for Halloween and Christmas, we always watch the Halloween, like say for example in Halloween, we'll watch all of the Halloween themed episodes of all of the TV shows that we love.
Yeah, and same goes for Christmas. All the Christmas episodes.
That is, and I'm so glad we've started that tradition.
Mm.
I'm not sure if you guys would be interested in joining us on that expedition, but we love it. 30 Rock, The Office, Community, Archer as well, Family Guy,
yeah,
South Park.
Even The Simpsons.
Sometimes The Simpsons.
Sometimes, yeah.
But it's fun. It's fun because we can have like themed like episodes and viewings and it's very cute.
Mm,
and it's very lovely. You know, just like an office, but it's the four-year reference household instead.
Where you get Oscar and Stanley as he... No, Creed and Stanley.
Creed and Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
That's the renaming. Do you know what Creed's job was?
He doesn't even know what his job was.
He doesn't even know what it was, but I believe it's quality assurance. Because yes, remember
the
when...
The papers.
Yeah. It was supposed to insinuate that cartoon character. I think it was like Disney characters are fucking each other on the paper. And that's his job.
Yeah.
To do quality assurance. Let's talk about Meredith.
So Meredith was with Vance? But Vance?
No,
Vance
Meredith is the redhead.
Oh!
Again!
Phyllis!
Yeah, so let's talk about Meredith.
It's such
Meredith.
A forgettable name, that's why.
Meredith?
Phyllis.
Oh, well, we're talking about Meredith.
I know.
Yes. So there was a whole fundraiser on behalf of rabies that has already been cured. So that was a fun little story. Michael hits Meredith with his car. Dwight traps her with a bat in a bag as well, which is obviously what leads to the rabies thing. But like Meredith was treated as trash, like white trash, if you'll pardon the reference.
And she was trash. She didn't hide that.
She was trash. But it was Moroccan Christmas episode.
Mm.
That's when they decided to have an intervention.
Oh, far out.
But one of the funniest things was Michael Scott had just, you know, printed something off of the internet, and he was asking questions about, you know, do you, to try and determine whether she's alcoholic. And one of the questions was, do you take alcohol to alter your mood? And then another question was, while under the influence, have you ever questioned the teachings of the Mormon Church? Cue South Park episode.
Yeah, here. I was asked that questions before I started dating Katie, so I was fully aware of what was going.
What a random thing. But it's a very Michael Scott thing.
It is.
To do.
It is.
But Meredith was solid. And then they had, what do they call it, Casual Friday?
Mm.
And she was wearing that dress.
Without any, yeah.
So she would like pull it down and she'll have to like pull it up.
Well, she'd pull it down because it's too short, but then it'll fall and expose her boobs and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole buffet.
Oh, Meredith. My God.
But she was solid, though. She was quite a good friend to all, and she was a great fixture to have, I think, on the show. Let's talk about your best friend, Phyllis, finally.
Oh, Phyllis, you mean Meredith?
Well, OT's me.
Mm. Well, she, high school friends, or not friends, they went to high school together with Michael, and she needs that pep to just get her going.
Yeah.
And, you know, she doesn't express herself quite well. She's that introvert, and, you know, it takes quite a lot to get her going.
But she's very matronly.
Yeah. She really is.
And do you remember when in the first Christmas episode we were doing Yankee Swap or Naughty Santa, I think is what they call it as well. And she was...
She'd neat it up.
Yeah. And that's how it started, because Michael didn't want it.
Shit.
Michael ate shit. But we still loved him for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And then Phyllis got with Bob Vance from Vance Refrigeration.
Mm. And no one told Michael to buy an iPod. He spent like $400.
Yeah, but he's that guy though, isn't he?
He is. He had a thing for Ryan. I feel like, I don't know, there was something in there.
Yeah, there was something everywhere. But yeah, Phyllis was quite nice. And she took a lot of the female office stuff like under her wing as well.
Yeah.
Pam, Aaron.
The party steering committee.
Yes, because green isn't whorish anymore, orange is.
Oh.
Angela is an ass. She's a whole ass.
Yeah, she's an ass. It's not even ass. Shade, mate. She's throwing you the tree.
Who else are we missing? Let's talk about Toby.
Wow.
Well, it was explained the reason why he hates Toby so much is because he represents corporate.
Yep.
So he's not a part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also boiled down to every time Michael wants to do something ridiculous, Toby's
the one to stop him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes sense in the end of it. But the length Michael went to...
If I had Hitler, Osama bin Laden and Toby in a room...
I'd shoot Toby three times.
It's even funnier knowing that Paul, who plays Toby, was just a writer, and that's his demeanor. So people liked, well, the executive of NBC at the time really liked him. So that's why he had to keep appearing in the show. So it was nice to see his exchange
was.
Particularly with Michael. Him and Pam.
Oh, when he put his hand on Pam's thighs.
Yeah.
Creeper.
Do you remember when Michael Scott and Dwight planted drugs? I'm air quoting. They planted drugs because they went to the warehouse and asked the guys if they have drugs, and they had a salad and just gave them the leaves.
Mm.
Oh my goodness. And how at Toby's farewell, he created this whole extravagant party with a Ferris wheel and everything, and he had a song for Toby as well. Goodbye, Toby. Petty.
Really petty. And when Toby was brought back and Holly had to leave, wow.
Yeah.
There was no consoling Michael there.
No way. No way at all.
Oh, dear.
So let's capture off some newer characters. Let's capture off Aaron and also Gabe.
Gabe with his horror movies.
Oh, God.
I'm a fan of horror movies, but whatever Gabe is into is not even bloody hell. I don't know what the hell that is.
In the For Your Reference household, we always have Friday night horror movie nights, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
We have a good old time. We did compile a list of, I wouldn't even call it B-grade, just like off the path sort of horror movies. And whenever we watch movies, that's usually our benchmark. Like, is this a Gabe movie? Is this going to give me nightmares? Like, is this okay to watch right now? He was just, I feel like Zach Woods has been casted perfectly in everything I've seen him in.
Yeah. He really does shine in Silicon Valley.
As Jared.
Mm. But he has this thing for Aaron and God, it just comes off as creepy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But end of it, he's sort of competent in his job.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what happens to him at the end of it.
I think he just goes back with Kathy Bates' character, Joe Bennett.
Maybe so. Let's talk about your Aaron.
This is where, at least myself, was introduced to Ellie Kemper. And how good was it? Because she really, because again, like I was saying, before Michael Scott left, I was already feeling like we've passed the best years of The Office. It'll still be enjoyable, but it's not going to be to that level, right? And then we got an injection of a new cast. In some cases, it just didn't work in some spots, like with Andy's character. But then we also had Erin, and her name's actually Kelly.
Mm.
But when Idris was in charge, he said it was too confusing, so he's just going to go by her middle name, which is Erin.
Mm-hmm.
She was such a great character. She was adopted, so, you know, she had her own struggles to get through as well. But she was quite a shining light. She was what Pam thought she was.
Yeah.
Right?
100%. And she saw Michael as a father figure.
Oh, yeah.
Which was quite warm to see.
It was. It was delightful.
Yeah. And the fact that when Michael lashed out, was like, I'm not your father. That was really sad.
Yeah.
Because you could see how much that meant to Aaron.
Yeah.
Hmm.
There was some quite heartwarming moments. Like you said, don't forget about The Office when you're thinking about, you know, heart-churning shows on NBC, because you did have The Office.
Yeah.
Are there any other secondary characters you want to go through? I think we've covered quite a range.
We have. I guess it wouldn't be fair to end it without talking about Daryl. Because he's more than secondary. He's therefore,
you know, he's got his own band called Sexual Chocolate or something. Yeah,
I know he had his own show,
Mr. Robinson.
Mr. Rob, yeah. Did you ever watch that?
You do know I try to enjoy my spare time. Why would you ask me such a thing?
Yeah.
I think we did try it though years ago. I think we did, and I think it had a laugh track in it.
Probably so.
But he does quite well. He's in quite a lot of Seth Rogen sort of movies.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's hurt in his pocket.
Not at all.
Yeah. Let's talk about, let's just rattle off the guest stars and feel free to say anything if you want to. It was nice that Ricky Gervais made a cameo
mm-hmm.
as well. And you could see how different they were.
Yep.
As well. Will Ferrell, D'Angelo Vickers.
Not a fan.
I did kind of like his fake juggling thing. It was so fucking ridiculous. So for the ridiculousness alone, I enjoyed that. Speaking of ridiculousness, Robert California,
whoa.
James Spader. He is a pervert and a half.
Through and through. Like, everything I've seen him in, he just seems like a proper perv.
Yeah, and it gets to a point where maybe it's not the roles.
He's just showing up.
Yeah, pretty much. We talked about Idris Elba at length. Josh Groban, Kathy Bates, and Timothy Oliphant, we didn't mention at all.
Yeah, the road salesman.
Yeah.
Traveling salesman, not road salesman.
Road salesman. Feel free to listen to our Daddywood / Deadwood episode for some Seth Bullock shenanigans. But the funniest thing was, because they poached him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jim, Dwight, or maybe it was just one of them, and Michael were about to pitch, and they saw Danny Cordray there. Mm. And instead of him taking that sale, they just poached him, right?
Yeah.
But the funny thing was, when they brought Timothy Oliphant into the office, the first thing Kelly says is, fuck me. He has quite a nice face, though. Yeah,
he does.
And we recently saw him in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think he should just stay as a cowboy. Did you like him in Justified?
Oh, loved him in Justified. Loved him in Deadwood.
Nah. He is in Deadwood. Yes, that is a fact.
And I know you liked him too.
No thanks. You know who I do like? David Koechner, Packer.
Mm.
I really like him. And he plays the same character in everything, even in Anchorman. I just love seeing him as that debaucherous, salacious, ridiculous man of a character.
Yeah, he's too ridiculous for me.
Oh, but I love him. He's great.
Not sure how that relationship, how the friendship with Michael works, though.
Well, you see it. That's how it works. But wow. There we go. And there you go. Thank you so much, guys, for sticking with us on our day-to-day office dronings and also covering the US office. If you're interested in us talking more about the UK office series, feel free to let us know. But we are going to capture off this episode in a segment we call For Your Reference. OT, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I would like to reference Friends. Like, sticking with the NBC family, you know?
That's nice, because that's all we're going to be after this.
Ah!
And I will reference the Australian ABC series Utopia.
Oh, nice.
It is amazing. If you like British comedy and it's a bit more rough, you'll enjoy Australian shows and definitely start off with Utopia. Thank you so much, guys. On Twitter and Instagram, we are For Your Ref Pod.
You can email us at hello@fyrpodcast.com.
And if you would be so kind, we would love if you could give us an Apple rating and review, preferably 5 stars, but you know, whatever you have in your stationery cupboard, would really appreciate it so much, because it will help us reach more listeners.
Yeah.
Like you lovely people. And we'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.